All right. Galatians chapter number 5. Let's go there. We're finally out of Galatians chapter 4. And I want to go to chapter 5 now. And I want to talk about this here. We've been talking about it quite a bit for a few Sundays now, about the fact of the law versus grace, and the Judaizers trying to get the new believers entangled, if you would, back under the law, thinking that they needed to keep the law in order to kind of guarantee their salvation or to add to their salvation and things like that. And Paul has He's corrected him, and he's like, no, you are children of the promise. You're not children of the law. You're children of the promise, and so you're free from the law. You are a child of God because of the promises of God, and you've been born again. You're a child of God, not because you obey the law, but because you have believed the promises of God like Abraham did. So he's been dealing with that over and over, and so what's happening, though, now is the reason it's become such a big issue is because these Judaizers were very, very concerned that if we teach that people are saved by grace and grace alone, that they don't have to work and earn their salvation, that their salvation is not based on their behavior or what they do. If we teach and preach that salvation is a free gift, and that it's not something that we earn by how we live, then you know what? People are going to accept that free gift, and then they're going to live however they want. And they're going to go out and do whatever they want, and they're going to disregard, and they're going to just live however they want to because their salvation is free. A lot of times Baptists, we're criticized and critiqued, if you would, because we believe in salvation by grace and grace alone, because people say, well, you Baptists think that you can get saved and do whatever you want. Well, we do believe that we're saved by grace and grace alone, but we don't believe that if you are truly saved that you're going to go and live like that. You're going to do whatever you want. I want to show you tonight a little bit about that, how that if you are saved by grace, that doesn't mean that you're going to go and just do whatever you can, whatever you want to, whatever you have the freedom to do just because. Doesn't mean that at all. Well, let's go to verse number 1 of chapter 5. Paul says, stand fast, therefore. That means, hold on, wait just a minute here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. You stand firm right there in the fact that you have liberty from the law, and you're in Christ. Hold on to that. Don't be swayed one way or another from that. You are free from the law and you're in Christ. Now look what he says. And do not be entangled. I think of almost a trap, if you would, of an animal or a bird flying into a net. He's like, do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. A yoke was what would be, you know, put onto oxen, and it would restrain them. It would help keep them where they needed to be. But a yoke was also the teachings of a rabbi. Individual rabbis would have what would be known as a yoke. It was their teachings. And so Paul is saying, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't entangle yourselves with these rabbis' teachings of the need for circumcision and all of these different things to do with the law. Don't be entangled with this yoke of bondage. Now he says in verse number 2, indeed I, Paul, say to you, that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. What did he mean? He meant that if you feel like, if you believe that you must be circumcised, you must practice the law in order to have salvation, then Christ really does you no good. Christ died in vain because you're earning your salvation. You're saved by the law and not by what Christ did. And so what Christ did was unneeded. It was unnecessary because you can do it yourself. Because by you obeying the law, you can save yourself. By being circumcised and doing the things that the Judaizers are telling you, then really you don't need Christ. Christ is of no effect. Now in verse number 3, he goes on and he says, "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." So Paul says, if you believe circumcision is a requirement of your salvation, that you have to keep that part of the law in order to be saved, then he says you are a debtor to the whole law. The law wasn't a matter of, well, I will do this part and this part and this part. No, if you were going to be a debtor to the law, if you were going to say that you're saved by keeping the law, then you keep the whole law. Imagine if you're, driving down the street and you're speeding and you get pulled over and the police officer, says, hey, you were speeding, and he wants to give you a ticket, and you say, yeah, but over here on these streets, I was doing fine. Over here on where it's 25, I was doing that. I know I was going 80 out here, but, I was going 25 where it said 25. Doesn't matter. He's still breaking the law. He's still going to get a ticket. And so Paul's saying, listen, if you're going to say that the law is necessary for your salvation, then you have to understand that all of the law becomes necessary. And so they are really beginning to entangle themselves and making themselves debtors to keeping the whole law. Goes on in verse number 4. He says, you have become estranged, if you would, from Christ. If you're putting yourself back under the bondage of the law, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For if Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. He says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you were circumcised or you were not. In Christ, none of that matters. He said it doesn't avail anything. It doesn't profit you at all. But look at this. What's the key? But faith, working through love. Faith, working through love. Now, church, listen to me. They were concerned that if Paul taught this doctrine of salvation by grace and grace alone, that we're not saved by keeping the law or by doing any good works, but we are saved by grace and grace alone. Their fear was that men are going to go and they're going to just sin like crazy because their salvation is free. That was the fear. That was the fear they had, and so they were adding law. They were trying to govern men's hearts by rules. Now, there's something that is better than rules. Matter of fact, rules. Rules usually can backfire. Have you ever heard the story? There was a place down along Alabama somewhere along the waterway, and it was a resort, and the water was fairly close, Anyway, they had these condos, and people would go and they would stay in them, and they'd be on the second floor or whatever, and they'd just go and enjoy the weekend. Well, they decided that they needed to put up signs that people were not to go fishing off the second floor. Well, you know what happened, right? As soon as they put the signs up that said you're not allowed to fish from the second floor, What happened? What do you think? Were you three at one time? Don't touch that. Right? They started fishing off the balcony because someone said, don't do that. It wasn't even a problem, but we put a sign up and say, don't do that. That's what rules do. They somehow make us think that we don't have to follow that. Or somehow they just challenge that sinful nature inside of us and they don't touch that, right? Well, that's what, you know, was we can think about is happening here. But something that is more powerful than the law or these rules was the inner discipleship, if you would, of God. That is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God indwelling a person that's truly converted. The Holy Spirit, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, He indwells you. And the desire is that you would be filled with the Spirit. That means 100% yielded to Him, letting Him work and do His will in your life. And so Paul says we live out our lives by faith, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, through faith and through love. Now, the law had all these rules. It was a guide, remember? And it was a teacher, and it was to show men their sinfulness, and it was to point them in the direction of the cross. It pointed them to the fact that Christ was the Messiah. It pointed them to the fact that there had to be a sacrificial lamb for their sins. That was the whole purpose of the law, was to show the lostness of man and to point them to the direction of the true Lamb of God. Now, the inner discipleship of God is far better than the Old Testament law. When you really let the Holy Spirit of God rule in a person's heart, it is better than the rules of the Old Testament law. And so what was happening here is they were being entangled, if you would, with their self-effort or with grace. Well, I want us to look at some things that would happen when you begin to think about this idea of the law. Self-effort, that is trying to do it yourself. Self-energy, self-effort, it leads to this. It leads to frustration and rebellion. It leads people to frustration and rebellion because we cannot keep all of the law. We cannot keep all the Old Testament law. There's no way. And it can lead to frustration that we're not able to do that. And it can also lead to rebellion that, you know what, I'm not going to do that. And it's kind of like when we tell maybe a child, hey, don't do that. Somehow it instills in them the desire to do that. Sometimes it does that. It stirs that up. And so self-effort, if we are thinking that, hey, you know, we're going to do this on our own, it's self-effort, I'm going to keep this, you know, it leads to rebellion and frustration because we're not able to. But look at grace. Grace, instead of leading to that, it leads to humility. Grace leads to humility and submission. When you realize that there is nothing you can do for your salvation, when you realize that the sin debt of your life has been paid, when you recognize that Christ has done everything for you and that you can do nothing to save yourself, you can do nothing to somehow make yourself better before God, that you are a sinner that is in need of salvation and you are in need of God's full grace all over you. When you realize that, it leads to humility and it leads to surrender, that we're going to be surrendered to Him, that, hey, if this is what I should be doing, this is what I'm going to do. It doesn't lead to wanting to go and do all the things of the world. It leads to, hey, you know what? Christ died for me. Christ died for me, I ought to live for Him. Look at another thing about self-effort that they weren't thinking about. Self-effort, it lives for self. That's all it's thinking about is self. What pleasures can I enjoy? What do I want to do? What can I have? And that's what self-effort does. It lives for self. It lives for everything for itself and only thinking about itself and doesn't care who it hurts or what it does or how it gets there. So self-effort, it lives for itself, but grace, it lives for others. Grace lives for others. When you've experienced grace in your life, guess what? You're going to want to share grace with others. When others have been forgiving of you, when God has forgiven you, that should enable you and empower you to be forgiving of other people. When you experience grace, when you experience forgiveness, that ought to enable you to show forgiveness. It ought to enable you to show love to other people. It ought to enable you to react when you're misspoken of, when you're mistreated. Grace enables us to live for others and not just for ourselves. That was their fear. Their fear that was that without the law, people are going to live for themselves. Actually, the opposite is true. When people realize how much grace God has poured out on them, they have a desire to live for Him and live for others. Another thing about self-effort, it depends on the power of the flesh. It depends on what you can do. What are you able to do? What can you do in your strength? What are you able to do? You're not able to keep the law. You're not able to do some of these things. You're not able to walk this way and to do this. Self-effort depends on what you can do on your own, in your own strength. Grace does not. Grace does not do that at all. Grace is empowered and it is enabled by the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit working in you. He empowers you. He enables you to live for the Lord. He enables you to forgive. He empowers you to forgive. He empowers you to be a witness. He empowers you to deal with difficult circumstances and situations. The Holy Spirit, and He enables and He empowers you, whereas self-effort can only do what you can do on your own. Look at another one, self-effort. Self-effort tries to please men. When we're working on our self-effort, we're in self-effort, we're trying to please others around us. We're trying to please men, what's going on with them, and trying to please and make them happy. And face it, we're not going to make everybody happy all the time. Not going to be able to please everybody. Everybody's not going to like you all the time, and not everybody's going to agree with you all the time. And self-effort, we're trying to please men. And we're trying to please people. I've met some people that they are so concerned, about that they're doing everything just right, and it's almost they can't get anything done because they're worried about that they're doing it wrong. They're so caught up in they're trying to please somebody. I know who wants to make people angry, who wants to upset people and so forth. Nobody does. But self-effort is overly concerned with men and pleasing men. What do they think? What do they think of what I'm doing? What do they think of this? What do they think? And that's what self-effort does. It tries to please other people. Then look at grace. Grace does just the opposite. It seeks only to glorify God. It seeks only to glorify God. Think about that. Trying to glorify God. You know, when you go to your place where you work and, maybe you have a difficult boss or supervisor or somebody like that, and you're doing your best. You're trying to work your hardest, do your best, and it's not enough. It's super impossible and so forth, and you're just like, man, I can't please them. They're just you know, it's no way of you know, taking care of that. But you see, when you're going there in grace, and you're going there under grace, and when grace is flooding your heart and filling your heart, you go to glorify God. There's a verse, I think it's Colossians 3:13, that says, you know, do all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. It's not about trying to please them, you're trying to please the Lord. Now, as when you're glorifying God in your work and your work ethic and so forth, then that's pleasing to the Lord. You're pointing them that, hey, that's what a Christian acts like. That's what they behave like. That's their values. If you're, you know, doing the opposite of that, you're sending them the wrong message. You're sending them a bad message of what Christians are like. So self-effort tries to do things to please other people, whereas grace tries and enables us and empowers us to live to glorify God. Well, the enabler is the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is working in us to accomplish these things. I brought a glove with me. Kind of dirty. It's been used a little bit. But imagine if you could, just on your own, that you're a glove. That's what you are. You're just an old dirty glove. Some of you are like, man, I feel like an old dirty glove. I feel like I've been stomped on, right? But you're an old dirty glove, really. That's what you are. And now I could sit here and tell that glove, you know, hey, why don't you go out and mow the yard? Right? Why don't you go out and mow the yard and then rake up the leaves and put them in the trash? Or could you take the trash cans out to the street so the garbage guy could get that for me, please? Could you get me a glass of water? Or how about, would you turn the television on? Or, hey, could you get that door for me? I got this heavy box. I can't get through that. Oh, open that door. It's useless, isn't it? It's just an old glove. But what happens when you become a Christian, your life is changed. You're born again. The Bible says you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. And so that would be similar to this here, putting my hand in the glove. That's like the Holy Spirit being in you. Now the Lord can say, hey, you know, go and do this. Or now I can say, well, it's empowered and enabled to go mow the yard because the Holy Spirit's in control of it. I could go rake the leaves because the hand is in the glove. It's moving, it's work, it's under the control and the leadership of my hand. It's not just a limp glove sitting there. Church, listen to me. That's how we are. We are without the power and the indwelling Holy Spirit working and moving in us. We're really not able to accomplish anything. And that's what Paul's trying to tell these people. He's like, yeah, you know, you can go and do all these things in the law, if that's what you're going to entangle yourself with the law again. But then Christ is of no use to you. But he says, you know what? If you allow God in your life, and you allow grace to control your life and the Holy Spirit's in your life, then guess what? You're not going to do everything in your own power, your own strength. You're not going to do things to just make other people happy. You're going to act and you're going to behave in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord, that's going to glorify God. So when the Holy Spirit is in you and He's empowering you and you're yielded to Him, He empowers and enables you to do the things that God needs you to do and asks you to do. And a lot of times we lose that. We lose that because we're trying to live the Christian life in the flesh. We're trying to do things on our own. And we're not yielded to the Holy Spirit. We're not walking with Him. We're not being obedient to Him the way that we ought to. And so we don't see anything happen in our lives the way that we want to, the way we should. Paul says, don't be entangled with the law. Be in grace, live in grace. And God in you, speaking to you, is a much better discipling plan than the Old Testament law. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to move us, to enable us, then we can be obedient to the Lord, do what the Lord wants us to do. And we're going to talk more in the future about this, because when you go on, and I encourage you, go ahead and you can read on down. There's lots of things where he talks about how we're to behave, and then we're going to see down the road the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? How do they affect our lives? How do they challenge us? How do they change us? And so Paul's been laying this out for these Christians that they've been saved by grace, but they have false teachers coming and saying, yeah, you're saved by grace, but you got to do this. And they're trying to drag them back into the Old Testament law. And Paul is saying, listen, I know they're saying the Old Testament freedom from the liberty. They're saying that liberty will cause you to sin and go and do. And he says, no, liberty will cause you to live for God. Liberty will cause you to have a desire to glorify God, not to please people. When you really experience and understand the grace of God in your life, what God has done for you, then you will have a desire and a passion to please Him. I think sometimes the reason we don't have the desire that we ought to please Him is we do not, sometimes we forget of all that God has done for us when He saved us. You ever think about where would you be? Where would you be if you had not come to know Christ? I remember my pastor, he used to say, he said, you know, if I didn't find Christ, he said, I'd still be falling off a bar stool somewhere. Life would be a mess. Christ comes into our lives. He changes us. And we're to allow ourselves to walk in grace, be filled with the Spirit, not try to do everything on our own in the flesh. Don't be entangled with the works of the law. Well, I hope that that's helpful. I hope that that kind of helps tie some of those things together. And we'll pick up again where when we start talking about how the Holy Spirit does a work in our lives and some of the things that He does for us. All right. Well, let's stand together if we could. The leadership, if we could meet for just a couple minutes. I had some of the guys, I mentioned the dirt out there by the street. It's washing out into the street. Maybe fixing that somehow. And some of the guys looked at it. And so let's meet for a few minutes and see if we can't come up with a plan to deal with that if we can. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for the day that You've given to us. Lord, I thank You for Your word and the truth that is in it. Lord, we thank You for each one that is here tonight. Lord, we pray that You would just be with us this week. Lord, help us to be pleasing to You. Help us, Lord, to allow You to enable us and empower us, that we would live for You, that we would walk in the way that would be pleasing to You. And we pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.